First of all, Mother Rabbi Sai, we have outstanding Rabbeim here, Rabbi Michal Katz, Rabbi Yankel Levitz, and of course the Mashgiach, Rabbi Yosef Blau. But I have the very great honor to present to you our Rosh Kollel, of course, an outstanding Ish Halacha and Pesach of our time, Rav Shechter.
As was mentioned previously, Rav Chalap quoted from the Shulchan Aruch that there is a mitzvah, Ela HaMishpatim Shatasim Lefneim, there is a mitzvah whenever there's a sichsich between two Yisraelim that they should go to a Bezin Shal Yisrael. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim, how exactly should the Bezin paskin? Should they only follow the din or should they recommend a pshara? So we paskin la'alocha that lachatchila it's preferable for the Bezin to recommend a pshara rather than to do the din. Number one, because there'll be more peace between the two parties, and number two, because b'zman hazeh, b'zman ha-gemara, that was the reason given by the Tanoim, it'll be a mishpat sholem. And number two, b'zman hazeh, we're not so convinced that we can figure out what the din is. It's easier for us to figure out a pshara, so that's why b'zman hazeh, there's an additional reason why we recommend a pshara. What exactly does a pshara mean? A pshara does not mean a compromise. If he says that I owe him $1,000 and I say I owe him zero, so the Bezin will divide in half and say I should pay him $500, that's not a pshara. Sometimes the pshara will be that I have to pay him the full $1,000. Sometimes the pshara says that I pay nothing. A pshara means, Rav Soloveitchik gave this definition when we were learning Gemara Sanhedrin, a pshara means a psak of lefnim mishuras adin. You can give a psak based on din and a psak based on yosher. And the psak based on Yosha, based on Lefnei Meshuras HaDin, has to be the honest to goodness opinion of the Dayanim. They have to really feel that Yosha dictates X, Y, Z, whatever Yosha happens to dictate. Sometimes the Yosha will dictate the exact hepach of the din. Sometimes Yosha will say exactly what the din is. That's the din and that's the Yosha. 100% the same as the din. Sometimes Yosha will be somewhere in between. But Pshara is not a compromise. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Tur. Chava quotes from the Tur. That just like there is a prohibition loisata mishpat, that you're not permitted to be mate a din Torah where they want you to judge din, so too the prohibition of loisata mishpat applies to a pshara as well, because a pshara is also a psak. It's a psak of a bezdin, except that they're paskening based on the concept of a yoshim. So this is the mitzvah ela mishpatam ashatosim lefneim. There is a mitzvah to go to a bezdin shal Yisrael, even if you're going to have a pshara, even if you're not going to have din. And the Gemara in Gittin comments on the pasuk that the mitzvah can only be fulfilled if it's lifneihem below lifnei nochrim and lifneihem below lifnei hadyotos. It's supposed to go to a bezin of shlosha smuchim. The Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin discusses exactly which cases they need smuchim and which not. But in principle, the pasuk means the bezin should be a bezin of shlosha smuchim and it should not be hadyotos, people who don't have smicha, and it should not be nochrim. How do we don bizman hazeh? The Gemara asks in Gittin on Daf Ayin Aleph, and the Gemara in Hachovel asks, bizman hazeh, we don't have any real smicha, even in Yeshiva University, where we have such a wonderful smicha program, but it's all an imitation smicha. Smicha has to be ish mipi ish and Moshe Rabbeinu in Eretz Yisrael. You cannot confer smicha in Chutz Lords. So what we have today, the Ramor, in Shulchan Aruch, Yeridea quotes from the Abarbanel. It's probably the only place that he quotes the Abarbanel. The Ramor quotes in Ilchus Talmud Torah, that the smicha that we have today is only imitation smicha. You know, from the Gemara like that. It's not a big chiddush from the Abarba, no. The Gemara says like that, that the smicha today is only imitation smicha. So how can any dayon be done, any din Torah b'zman hazeh, if the halacha requires lefneim, v'lo lefnei hadyotos, you have to have smicha? So the Gemara answers, anan shlichu sayu ko'abdina. We are functioning as shluchim. In the days of the Gemara, there were still shluchim in Eretz Yisrael, so they can say that those who are being done in Bavel are functioning as the shluchim of those who were in Eretz Yisrael. In the days of the Rishonim already, there was nobody in the world who had any smicha. So how can you say that we today are all shluchim of whom? The Mishaleach is not there. There is no Mishaleach. So the Rishonim changed the expression a little bit. Anan shlichasai de kamoi ko abdina. We are acting as shluchim of those who used to live many years ago. What exactly does that mean? The Mishnah says in the first Perek in Gittin that if the husband appointed a shlich to give a get to his wife, then the husband dies. So if Meis HaMashaleach is a Batla HaShlichas, so how can you say we today are functioning as Shluchim, Shlichas Sayyidi Kamoy Kavdin and Stamapele? What do you mean a shlich? Let's say a Kohen is lazy, he doesn't want to go up to Duchen. So he'll appoint a lady or Esau to Duchen for him. I'll make a shlich. How can you make a shliach if he doesn't have the qualification? I'm a Kohen. How can I send him to Duchen for me? So if I have smicha, how can I send you to be done at Dintar? But you don't have the smicha. How can you say shlichasai? The whole thing is a pella. So the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva about this. And basically the Chidushi Haran in the beginning of Sanhedrin has this as well. And Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out when he gave the shurim on Sanhedrin that the mitzvah really, it really starts off as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, Eila Mishpatam Shatasim Lefneim, that you should go to a Bezen Shel Smuchim. If this, and if you go to Hedyaitis, this is considered a bizoyan to the Bezen Shel Smuchim. Why didn't you go to the Bezen Shel Smuchim? You should have gone to them. But if the Bezen Shel Smuchim are Moichel on the Kovet, if they choose to be Moichel on the Kovet, fine. So then there's no prohibition. If there's no prohibition, then there's no problem. So that's what the Ran writes, and that's what the Chasam Sofer writes. The Chasam Sofer has that marshal. If a Kohen will appoint a non-Kohen to Duchen for him, is that Shaykh to say Shlichosai? So he says, it's not a non-Shlichosai Kavdinan that we are functioning as the Shlich, that we're Moichel on their Kovet. So once they're Moichel on their Kovet, so then the non-Smuchim can also be done. Then there's no Isser, Memele, there's no Psul. That's why there are opinions in Shulchan Aruch. The first Nesivis develops the idea that Shlichusai was a concept deraisa. He quotes the Rashbo, and Yevama says that the whole concept of Shlichusai, the ability of Batidinim to function today, is only midirabbanim mitam hefker bezn hefker. But he points out that Taisus doesn't agree with the Rashbo, because Taisus says that the ability of the Batidinim today to be mekabel gerim is also based on Shlichusai. So by Gerim, how can you say Hefke Bezna Hefke? Hefke Bezna Hefke only works in the area of Dini Mominus. So obviously Taisus thinks that Shlichusai, who even applies Bizman Hazeh with respect to Kabbalah's Gerim, Taisus is of the opinion that Shlichusai was a concept derais. How does it work Menat Torah? So that's what the Chidushi Haran in the beginning of Sanhedrin and the Chasam Sofer, that's what they explain, that Shlichusai means that they're Moichel on the Kovet. Once they're Moichel on the Kovet, so then Memele there's no prohibition, Memele there's no psul, and the Hadyotas can be done even on the level of their eyes. The Rambam has an interesting psak halacha lemaisa, that the Rambam paskins that shnaim shadonu bizman hazeh by shnei Hadyotas shadonu, if you don't have smicha, so he says even in the case of hoidos v'halvois, v'min ha-torah chad nami kosher, one can be done the case. But he says, Shnaim Shadonu is ain't the name din. Even B'diyeva, the Psak is not valid. So the Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam quotes that the Rishonim asked the Kasha, the Rambam is against the Gemara. The Gemara says that if min HaTorah chad nami kosher, one dayan can judge the case, and it's only required mid the Rabbanan alti hi don yechidi, shein don yechidi ala echo, the Mishnah in Pirkei Ovis, and lachatchili, you shouldn't have a bezn of shnayim, it'll be a bezn chotzev, so you have to have a bezn of shlosha. That's all lachatchila midirabbanon. So b'diyevit, if you have shnayim shadonu, should be good. So how come the Rambam, that's what it says in the Gemara, the first daf in Sanhedrin. So how come the Rambam paskins min haTorah by cases of hoidos v'halvois, as opposed to gzeilus v'chavolos? So in the case of hoidos v'halvois, the Rambam paskins min haTorah chad nami kosher, one can be done. And nonetheless, and it's only midirabbanan that you need alti hidon yechidi, and it shouldn't be shnaim shadon or bezn chotzim, so you need three, that's all midirabbanan. And that's ma'akib b'diyevet. How can that be ma'akib b'diyevet? The Gemara says that's all l'chatchila. How can the Rambam paskin against the Gemara? So the Yor Samech comments on the Rambam, he explains, if you look in the Rambam, it's kemat b'feirish in the Rambam. If you would have one samuch be done, bizman hazeh, that the Rambam would say that it would be good. One samuch or two smuchim, it would be good. The Rambam says, shnei hadyotis shadonu. When you're dealing with hadyotis and you're relying on shlichusayu, so we can only use this principle of shlichusayu if we follow all the rules and regulations that the Chachamim ask us to follow. If we're in violation even of a din that's only lachatchila, so the kamoi, the smuchim, who lived so many years ago, don't allow us, they're not moichel on the kovet, they don't give us rishus to be done. This is relevant for other cases. Sometimes you have a case where a bezin is not, a bezin of three, not a bezin of shnai, you have a bezin of three, but they are sometimes in violation of some other l'chatchilas. So this is a very fascinating idea. The Yerushalmi understands in the Rambam, and that seems to be pshat in the Rambam, that whenever the Beis Din is in violation of any din, they did something in their procedure in an improper fashion, even if it's normally only a lachatchila, once they're in violation of a lachatchila, there's no more shlichusai. They have no right to function at all, and the whole din will not be valid. It'll be shnaim shadano ein dinayim din. So again, Rav Chala pointed out that there is a tension in Shulchan Aruch that sometimes it says he may go to Arkoyes, sometimes he may not go to Arkoyes. What's the klal? So the Mefarshim explain on the Shulchan Aruch, the klal is as follows. The prohibition against going to Arkoyes is not an issue like Chilul Shabbos, not an issue like eating Chazer. It doesn't start off as an issue, it starts off as a mitzvah. The mitzvah is, Ela Mishpata Mishatasim Lefneim, there's a mitzvah to go to a Bezen Shel Yisrael, not to a Bezen Shel Adyotis, of non-smuchim and not to a Bezen Shel Nochrim. And the Mele, if a person will go to a Bezen Shel Nochrim, he's in violation of the essay. It starts off as a mitzvah essay. But this is only by Medvar Mamurim if there is an opportunity, if you have a chance to go to a Bezen Shel Yisrael. What if you have, let's say, a criminal case? What can the Bezen Shel Yisrael do? I know that my next door neighbor poisoned her husband. So what am I going to go to a Bezen Shel Yisrael? What are they going to do? She'll poison her next husband. She'll kill anybody she doesn't like. So, okay. I'm going to move for sure, but how am I going to save the rest of the people in the community? See, you have no choice. You're going to go to Bezen Shel, so Bezen Shel can't deal with the case. So whenever there's a criminal case, so there is no Bezen Shel Yisrael that has jurisdiction, has the ability to do anything about it. So then there's no prohibition to go to Arkoyes. You have no brera. Or even if it's a case of Dini Mominus, but we know that the Bezen Shel Yisrael simply can't handle it. How do you know? So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Gemara in the end of Baba Kama, if the Bezdin Shal Yisrael sent a hazmana, they send a hazmana in the mail, or they send a shliach, send a hazmana, that the person should show up for a din Torah, and he doesn't show up, then they send another hazmana, and the third time, three times in a row, they sent a hazmana, and the person doesn't show up. So you see that you can't get the first base with this person. Bezdin Shal Yisrael will not be able to handle a case. So then there's no prohibition to go to Arkoyes Shel Nochrim. It doesn't start off as an iser. It starts off as a mitzvah to go to a Bezdin Shal Yisrael. If you know that the Bezdin Shel Yisrael can't take care of it, so then there's no issur to go to a Bezdin Shel Nochrim, to go to the Arkoyes. The Achrayim quote from the Tumim al Choshen Mishpat, let's say they don't send a hazmona. Let's say the Bezdin calls up the fellow on the telephone, and they say that so-and-so says that you owe him money, and we have over here a Bezdin, and we'd like you to come to adjudicate the case. And he says, go fly a kite, I'm never going to go on any Bezdin. Sue me in court. So then the Tumim says, there's no need to have three hazmonas. The only reason why he needs three hazmanas, maybe he really wants to come to Bezin, maybe he was busy, maybe his wife didn't feel well, maybe the baby didn't feel well, maybe whatever. The Gemara has all kinds of terutzim in the end of Baba Kam. But if the dayan from representing the Bezin talks to him on the telephone, which we often do, instead of sending a hazmana in the mail, if we know that he's a character, so we call up on the telephone, and then he tells us he's never going to go to Bezin Shal Yisrael, new goodbye. So what is there to discuss? So you have, the Bezin gives him permission to go to the Arkoyes Shel Nochrim. Because it's not a prohibition, it's not that it's an issur. You shouldn't be mevatel a mitzvah going to a Bezin Shel Yisrael. And of course, like Rabbi Chalap quoted from the Shulchan Aruch, the Bezin can give permission to go to the Arkoyes, provided the Arkoyes is not going to penalize him more than the halacha says. If the Arkoyes will make him pay more than the din says he has to pay, so that's gzela. So then the baldin is taking too much money. If we know that the courts, the legal courts, secular court, will only make him pay the same amount that he owes in din, then it's permissible. But again, if you're dealing with a criminal case, so we don't have any Bezin Shel Yisrael in America, you don't have any Bezin Shel Yisrael that has the ability to deal with it, so then Bechlal, there's no prohibition. There is no prohibition of Mesira either. There's a big misunderstanding regarding Mesira that needs a few words of explanation. In the days of the Gemara, Mesira meant that all the Jews looked the same. If you look in this room, everybody's dressed more or less the same. So we can't tell who are the very wealthy people in the room and who are the poor people in the room. All week long we dress one way. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov we dress with fancy begotten. The poorest person dresses nicely on Shabbos and the wealthiest person dresses normally in the weekdays. Everybody dresses the same. So the government in the days of the Gemara, the governments were ganovim. Not that they took income tax, fair income tax, in order to pay for the postal service and the garbage collection and the water that's being pumped into everybody's home. The government wanted, the governor of the area would want to enrich himself by robbing money from the rich people. So if a Nochri comes to me and he asks me to identify who are the wealthy Jews, who has a lot of money stashed under his mattress, who has money hidden away. So if I'm going to tell them who has money, what's the information going to lead to? They're going to come and steal the money from him. So that's called Mesira. Or if they want to torture a Jew for no good reason, the Jew didn't do anything wrong, and they want to, they're determining whom should they torture, just Lahano Asatzman, they want to torture someone. So I say, torture that guy. I don't like him anyway, so torture him. So that's Mesira. So there's a din, Hamoisa Gufa Shal Yisrael, Hamoisa Mamona Shal Yisrael, and Mahamoser is Ein Lechel Kulela Mabo, and if he shechts, there is an opinion Shechitos in the Vela, and if he writes Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah, it's possible. It says all kinds of terrible punishments for the Moser. But this is only when the Mesira is going to be in an inyan Shaloi Kedin. Let's say the fellow is in violation. He cheats on income tax in a big way. Or he's, there's a case, he did an Avera, he did something wrong. He violated one of the Dinei HaMalchus, for which he does deserve a punishment. So even if the punishment, let's say, we have laws that if someone gambles money, we make him pay. Sometimes we make him pay kefal. This man said we don't have kefal, it's a knas, we'll make him pay keren. What if the din in the Malchus is that whoever is a ganef gets put in jail for 10 years? Or whoever is a ganef, they give him misa, they give him the death penalty. So the government has a right to have whatever laws they want. The government has a right to give einish misa bizman hazeh also al pi pashtus. We have a din that bizman shein beis hamikdash kayam, bizman shein smuchim. The Jewish courts, the bez nafchav gimel, can't administer din in the fash. But the pashtus says that these laws don't apply to the b'nei noach. B'nei noach have a right to give einish misa bizman hazeh. So the Gemara says in the end of Bava Metzir that there were tanoim who were policemen. They worked for the Roman government and they used to arrest Jewish gangsters. They used to arrest a Jew who had done an aveira, a Jew who was a ganef. They would master him to the government, and the government would give him the death penalty. In our laws, he can't give the death penalty for geneva, but bedine b'nei noach, that's what they gave. They used to give the death penalty evenly to Jews and non-Jews alike. It was a fair law that they had. It wasn't only that they gave the death penalty to Jews who were ganovim, and to nochrim they wouldn't give. No, it was a fair law. So the Rishayim point out on that gemara in the end of Bava Metzia, that there wasn't a prohibition of Mesira for the Tanoim. They were Tanoim. Rav Lozer, Rav Shimon and others who used to work for the Roman government as police, and they used to maser over Jews to the government, and they used to get death penalty based on circumstantial evidence. The Gemara tells, how did they know who the Ganovim were? So the Gemara says he would look at the breakfast time in the cafes, in the kosher restaurants, who was yawning over breakfast. So if it's a Talmud Chacham who's yawning over breakfast, obviously he was sitting up late and learning Torah, so he didn't do anything wrong. But if it's Nishkan Talmud Chacham, so how come he's yawning? Obviously he must have been robbing someone's home last night, so he would arrest him based on such flimsy circumstantial evidence. And the Gemara says every single time he was right. The Gemara says in all cases he was right. The Gemara says in one case the guy put up a whole fight, you're lying, you're crazy, it's not true, and turned out that not only was he right, it was even worse than they thought. He had violated the whole Aseres Adibus, from A to Z, everything he violated. So the Gemara is clear that there's no prohibition of Mesira. Whenever the person violated an Avera and the government is going to give him a just punishment, there's no prohibition of Mesira. The Gemara just says that Eliyahu HaNavi met this Tan and he said, what, that's not a nice job for a nice Jewish boy. Why don't you go get a Rabbonis, go be a Rebbe in a Yeshiva. You have to work for the police to... So he said, he's Mechale HaKotzim Mikerem Yisrael. So Rabbi Eliyahu HaNavi told him, let the Rabbanu Shalom come. Yova balakerem yichalas hakotzim and akem. Let the Rabbanu Shalom come and clean out his vineyard. You don't have to do it. It's not a nice job for a nice Jewish boy. But if it's not, we're not talking a job for a nice Jewish boy, whether he does that for a living. Talking, we have jobs. I'm a Rebbe in Yeshiva, and I see that there's a Jew who's a criminal, and he's getting away with terrible things. So there's no prohibition of Mesira if I give him over to the government. Be'er Agoyla, the laws of Mesira appear in Shulchan Aruch HaShemeshim Peches. So the Be'er HaGoyla points out, and the Baal HaTanya points out, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav over there, and others write, that this was the common practice for centuries and centuries, that the heads of the Jewish community, the Rashi HaKohol, would give over the Jewish criminals to the Goyish government. Let's say if there would be somebody who would be forging coins, Mezayef Matbeis, and the government is looking for the guy, and they know, they think they have a chashad that it must be from the Jewish community. So they're going to harass all the Jews. So the Rashi HaKol would notify the police, we only have one person whom a chashad, Pliny ben Pliny, go to his house and go search over there. The other ones are innocent. So this would lead to his imprisonment. So it says that was always the practice. That's permissible. And that doesn't pose any problem. The only time it poses a problem is if the punishment that he's going to get will be an unfair punishment. Let's say the deed of the Machus is that this guy's supposed to sit in jail for 20 years. But there is no din in the machusa that he should be attacked by the other inmates in the prison. They have all kinds of murderers. Let's say this fellow is a forger. He forges coins or something like that. But the other people in the prison cell with him are there for murder and all kinds of things. And he's the only Jew in the whole prison. So they're going to make him crazy. They may even kill him. And they're going to harass him. It's going to be terrible. So that's more than the din of the malchus requires. So that already will be a problem of Mesira. Or in the Shulchan Aruch they have another case. Let's say the violation that the fellow is doing really doesn't harm the Jewish community, doesn't harm anybody else. It's just it's harming the government. The fellow's forging coins, he's harming the government, and there's no hefsid to the rest of the Yiddish kehillah. If there is a hefsid, because the nochrim achoshed that it must be a yid, they're going to harass all the yidin, then it says we have to save everybody else. So we must have, we tell the government, tell the police, it must be him, he's the only one to be choshed. But if it doesn't affect anybody else, they're just looking, let's say they're just looking for a criminal. So then it says, or in Shulchan Aruch they have another case. Let's say there's a court case between a Yisrael and a Nochri. And the Yisrael really owes money to this Nochri. And they call upon me that I should testify in court, because I work b'shutvis with the Yisrael, and I know the facts. He's taki guilty, he owes all of this money. So then it says in Shulchan Aruch, there's no issue of Mesira. What has got to do with Mesira? He owes the money to the Nochri. He's supposed to pay the money. Or he really violated the din and machusa. He deserves to be in jail for life, whatever, for the averis that he did. But the Shulchan Aruch says, since it doesn't affect anybody, who is the one who's losing if you're not going to have the court case? So the Nochri is going to be losing his money. Or the government of the Nochrim, if you have a Malchus Shal Nochrim, the government is going to be missing their man. So the Shachin Choshe Mishpot and Shin Peches and the Bir Agro and Simin Chofches point out that this is an issue of Avedas Akum. If the Nochri is losing money, or the Memshola is losing something, they're looking for their man, they're looking for a criminal who's cheating them, and the issue doesn't really affect the Jewish community. So that's an issue of Aveda Sakum, and the Gemara has a prohibition, you're not permitted to give back Aveda Sakum. So then the Shulchan Aruch is quick to say that you're not permitted to give back Aveda Sakum is only when there's no Chil Hashem. Whenever there is a Chil Hashem involved, then you do give back Aveda Sakum, or even if there's no Chil Hashem, but by giving back the Aveda Sakum, one will accomplish a Kiddush Hashem. So then if one will accomplish a Kiddush Hashem, so then you're obligated to give back the Aveda Sakum. So in the Shulchan Aruch and Simish in Chof Ches, they have this case. There's a court case between a Nochri and a Yisrael, and the Nochri calls upon a Yisrael to testify in court. And I know that he's right. He is entitled to this money. But it's a case of Aveda Sakum. If I'm not going to testify, so the Nochri will be out the $100,000. So I'm not permitted to help the Nochri. But the Nochri says, look, Rabbi Shechter, you know, we all know that you know testimony. You used to work in his office. So what am I going to say? I don't know. So it's going to look like the Yisraelim are just covering up on each other. So Shulchan Aruch says, in such a case, that's considered a Chil Hashem, that the Bnei Yisrael just cover up on all the criminals amongst us. So then it says, you're obligated, Mishum Kiddush Hashem, to prevent a Chil Hashem, you're obligated to go to court and to testify in such a case. Remember, many years ago, when the government was chasing after all the people in nursing homes who were cheating, to a great extent, they were cheating the government. So a lot of times they would call upon other Jews in the same nursing home to testify against each other. So there was a psak given by one of the batidinim in Williamsburg. I remember someone hung it up on the base medrash in the kollel in the third floor in the first hall. It was signed by this Bezin from Williamsburg, signed by three Rabbanim, that it's a prohibition mitam asira that you're not permitted to testify in court if it's going to help convict someone from the nursing home. As it says in Shulchan Aruch Simen Chav Ches, and they quote chapter and verse where it says, and it says just the opposite. And that Simen Chav Ches, that's if it says just the opposite. If the case is such that they know that I'm the one who knows the information, and the impression will be conveyed that the Bnei Yisrael are just covering up on the criminals amongst them, so it says, in that case, there's no issue of Aveda Sakum. There's no prohibition of Aveda Sakum. Then you're obligated to testify, because there's no issue of Mesira in the first place, because it's Kiddin. The only time there's a prohibition of Mesira is you're going to put the person in prison, Shaloi Kiddin. Then the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam, from the Gemara, if someone is Meitzer Es HaRabim, if a person is a nuisance to the whole community, to the public. He's a public menace. You're permitted to masa him to the government, and there's no prohibition. And the Gemara makes it clear this is only meitzeres harabim. A meitzeres hayochid, if he's a nuisance to one individual person, not. The Gemara tells a story. One time, Chacham was being annoyed by another Jew, and he wanted to masa him to the government over other things that he had done. So the Gemara says, Hametzeres Hayochid, you're not permitted to give him over to the government. Hametzeres Hayrabim, you may give him over. And then the Shach points out that we pass him like this, La'alocha. What if he's not Metzeres Hayochid? What if he's Makkeres Hayochid? Let's say there's a husband who's beating up his wife, or parents who are harming their children. So that's not a Shaila of Metzeres Hayochid. He's Makkeh. He's Chayvel B'Yochid. So then La'alocha says that there's no prohibition of Dina de Malchusa. There's no prohibition of Mesira. In that case at all. This is all in the Shach and Shin Pei Ches. All in Shulchan Aruch and in the Shach. And Chosh Mishpatzim and Shin Pei Ches. The Gemara has a rule that Dina de Malchus Adina. And in Shulchan Aruch they quote from the Tshuvas HaRashbo that Dina de Malchus Adina only applies in the case where one of the parties is a non-Jew. Let's say the case before Rabbi Chalap said, there are Bati Dinim in America also, like Rabbi Chalap described Rabbi Shalemo. There are Bati Dinim in America where the whole community respects the Rabbanim, and two non-Jews who have litigation will go to the Rabbanim because they know the Rabbanim will give them an honest psak, and it'll cost them much less than it'll cost them if they go to secular court, and they won't have to wait 3 years. They know they'll get a psak, but they know they'll get a hearing within a month or two. So there are, Baruch Hashem, there are such Bati Dinim in America who have the respect of the community. So if you have, let's say, a case where two Nochrim come for a court case, one of the litigants is a Nochri and one is a Yisrael. So then the halacha applies, Dina de Malchus Adina. So the Bezin has to paskin in accordance with the secular law. The Bezin has a right to paskin on the Nochri, but they have to paskin in accordance with the secular law, according to the Dina de Malchus. What happens if all of the parties, both of the parties involved, all the parties involved are Yisraelim? So then it says in Shulchan Aruch that Dina de Malchus does not apply because we follow the Shulchan Aruch. We have our own Torah. We follow the Shulchan Aruch. There are exceptions to the rule where when all of the parties involved are Yisraelim, and nonetheless the Bezin has to paskin according to Dina de Malchusa. What are the exceptions? So the Shach quotes. So one exception the Shach quotes and the Chazon Ish says it's non-existent. The Shach develops an idea that if you have a case where the halacha has nothing to say, then you follow Dina de Malchusa. Where do you have a case where the halacha has nothing to say? Let's say about the stocks and bonds. So there are no halachas at all. So the Chazon Ish said, what do you mean the halacha has nothing to say? Either the halacha says yechayv and the halacha says yepater. You have to break your head to figure out what the halacha says. But the halacha does say. So the Chazon Ish says he doesn't understand that shach. He says he should scratch that one out. But the other shach has two cases. The other shach, he says that's 100% correct. The other shach quotes from the Mordechai, from the Balei HaTesvis. Let's say there's a person who's in business, an observant Jew who's in business, and he deals with Jews and non-Jews alike. So whenever he deals with the non-Jews, he has to have in mind the Din of the Machusa. Because he's dealing with the Nochri, he has to deal according to the rules and regulations of the secular law of the land. Whenever he's going to deal with Jews, he has to screw his head on differently. And what does he do if he's not sure if the customer is a Yehudi or a Nochri? Comes in without a yarmulke, maybe he's a religious Sephardi, maybe he's not a religious Jew, maybe he's Jewish, not religious. How do you know? So the assumption in Shulchan Aruch, the Shach quotes, the assumption is that whenever you're dealing in business with Jews and non-Jews alike, since if you would have made a clause, you would have made a condition before you made the investment or before you made the order, before you bought this product or whatever, if we would have said, we want this purchase, we want this deal to be in accordance with the Din of the Machus and not in accordance with Dina Yisrael. So if you make such a Tanai in advance, the Tanai is valid. If I crash into your car as I'm speeding on the street, so there's no question I'm making a Tanai. That's the Torah imposes a chiyuv upon me, I have to pay. If somebody dies and you're talking about a Yerusha, so it has nothing to do with what I said, what you said, there are laws in the Chumash, how you deal with the Yerusha, who gets the Yerusha. So there the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rashba, we have to follow Din HaTorah. We don't follow the Din and the Malchus. All the parties involved are Jewish, so you follow Din HaTorah. But if you're talking about an investment in a corporation, you're talking about placing an order to buy something, or I commissioned someone to do work for me, so if I would have, this is a Hischaibis Midas, whatever we agreed to, that goes. So if we would have made a condition in advance that we want to follow Din and Malchus, that would have been a binding condition. What's wrong with that? So even though we never made such a Tanai, But since the Minhag HaMedina is like that, that I deal in business with Jews and non-Jews. So what do you mean when I deal with the Jews, I have a mind to follow Din HaTorah? When I deal with the Nachum, I have a mind to follow Din HaMachusa? It doesn't make any sense. How is it going to switch back and forth? So since the Minhag HaMedina always is that in dealing in business, we follow Din HaMachusa, so the Minhag establishes Kilo Hisnu. The Minhag accomplishes that it's considered as if we made it tonight, and whatever tonight would have helped. In the case of Dini Mominus, and many, whenever it's a Hischaivis Midas and a Tanai is valid, so then the Chazon Ish explains, then the Din HaTorah requires that you have to follow the deal in the Machus. It's not just that they made it Tanai. If they make a Tanai, that we want our business deal to follow the deal in the Machus, then the Halacha requires that you have to follow the deal in the Machus. So the two Jewish parties who come for the Din Torah have to go to a Bezen Shal Yisrael. They're not permitted to go to a Bezen Shal Nachrim. But the Bezen Shal Yisrael has to ask a good lawyer, what's the din in the Machusa? They have to paskin in accordance with the din of Machusa. They're not supposed to paskin in accordance with what it says in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch. Because whenever you're dealing in business, we assume that it's considered kilu hisnu. Whatever is the minigam din is considered kilu hisnu. And whenever you make a tanai, so then that becomes the din hatar. Then the halacha requires that you have to follow the tanai. When constituting a bezin, so the Gemara says that the people who are called upon should. The Gemara says that there was a practice that the Nikia Hadasha Bibishalayim used to have, that they wouldn't sit in a din Torah with people who were questionable. Let's say one of the rabbis is a shady character. We know that this guy is one of these gangster rabbis who always issues false psokim. But we're going to have two. We're going to outvote him. Would say there are two honest dayanim and one is a faker, one is a criminal. So the Gemara says Nikiya Hadas Yerushalayim wouldn't join such a bezin, even though they plan to outvote the third fellow. It's interesting. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam that there are several qualifications that are required of a dayan. He has to know how to learn, and he has to be humble, and he has to be intelligent, and so on. A whole bunch of conditions. So what happens if you have a dayan is not so humble, he's not so smart, and he's not so learned? So the Chazon Ish says in a Sefer HaChosheh Mishpat, he says that we don't require to the nth degree that he should be absolutely humble, that he should absolutely be very bright. As long as he has b'miktzas, as long as he has a little intelligence, as long as he knows how to learn a little bit, as long as a little bit humble is okay. Okay. Shmini Shebishmini Savanova is also okay. But what happens, Chazon Ish says, it's a double yadum for us, and this man is a cheftz of gaiva. This man is stupid. There are a lot of Talmid HaChacham, they know halacha, but they're pashut stupid in Mila Dalma. So he says, if he doesn't even have the Shmini Shebishmini, it doesn't even have the miktsas, we know that this person is an absolutely arrogant person, that this person is absolutely stupid in Mila Dalma. So then the Chazon Ish writes, he thinks that such a dayan is puzzle. Not just that these are recommendations that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting from the Rambam, from the Gemara. These are not recommendations l'chatchila. He thinks that these are li'ikuvah, except that li'ikuvah, you can't say that he has to be absolutely the most humble person in the world. He has to be the most sharpest, most intelligent person, as long as he has a miktsas. He has to have chotch a little bit. But if it's clearly not, it's not. And this is relevant for not only a bezdin and a dintar, this is relevant for a bezdin for geris, a bezdin for chalitza also. You require these qualifications for all but the dinim. The members of the bezin have to be kosher to be mitzdarif to a bezin. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Tesis in the first perek in Maseches Sanhedrin the following psak, that the only time one follows rov, if you have a bezin of three and there's a split vote, so if it's 2-1, we follow the psak of the two, that's only if the psak is in an area of halacha. What happened, a real din? What if the Baladinim agree to a pshar, and that's what we usually do? We try to encourage the Baladinim. That's how the Gemara says, you should always encourage the Baladinim, they should go for a pshar. So pshar, each dayan has to say what he really thinks, Yosha dictates. So you can have totally different perspectives, and you can't really say that mine is right and yours is wrong. From your perspective, you're right. From my perspective, I'm right. So it could be that everybody's right. So Tosfos says in such a case, it doesn't make sense to follow Roiv. If you have 2-1, when do you follow Roiv? When we're trying to ascertain what is the objective halacha. The halacha says something. In Chosh Mishpah we have rules and regulations. If two dayanim say that according to Chosh Mishpah this case is chayiv, and two say no, according to Chosh Mishpah this case is pater, So it's 2-1 and Yachar Rabban Lahatas. But if it's a case of a Pshara, the two are not really saying that the one is wrong. We say, Lefi Aniyus Daitenu, we feel that Yosha dictates X, Y, Z. And the other one says, we feel that Yosha dictates Faket. So you can have three different opinions. So the Taisu says, and Shulchan Aruch quotes it, whenever you have a Pshara, you have to have a unanimous vote. Unless the Dayanim agreed in advance to follow Rov. So sometimes it's a good idea that they should agree in advance to follow Rov, and sometimes it's an awful idea. Sometimes if you have, let's say, a Bezdin of a Zablo, Zebar Le'echod, Vezebar Le'echod. So really, if you see that one of the Dayanim doesn't belong in any Din Torah in the world, you really shouldn't participate in the Din Torah. Niki Hadash Abishalayim, but sometimes you can't help yourself. This Baldin insists he's going to pick that Dayan. So if he picks this Dayan, and you have no choice, you have to participate in the Din Torah, you have to violate this L'chatchila of the Niki Hadas, you have to join the Din Torah. So you should not agree in advance to follow Rov. If they're going to have a Pshara, insist that you want to follow what it says in Chodesh Mishpat, but you're going to have a unanimous vote, so you can never be outvoted. So you can make sure. I remember I once had a Din Torah like that, and one of the Dayan didn't know anything at all from Chodesh Mishpat, but he was a professional Bayer, and he only knew how to drei. He didn't know anything about Chodesh Mishpat. So whenever I quoted something from the Chodesh Mishpat, he never heard of it. Then I said, and the Sri Deyesh says this, he said, who's the Sri Deyesh? So remember the third Dayan said, who is the Sri Deyesh? What do you mean, who's the Sri Deyesh? The third Dayan was already upset. So, and then they wanted to outvote me, so I said, it's a Pshara, you can't outvote me. We never agreed to go. Well, who said? I said, it says in Chodesh Mishpat like that. So I kept on insisting till we finally made a Pshara. The three of us finally made a Pshara. That was a valid Pshara, it was reasonable. So that character Dayan made up his mind from that time on, he's never going to participate in the Din Torah with me, for which I'm very grateful. But he participates in other Dinei Torah, which is scandalous. In the Gemara assumes a Lekim Nitzah Ba'das Kel, this is what Rabbi Chalap was referring to, Ki Amishpot Lelekimhu. We assume that if you have an honest to goodness bezin, honest dayanim, we're not talking about fakers, we assume that there will be a hashuas hashchina to help the dayanim paskin properly. Elikim nitzah badaskel, and it's for that reason that the Gemara says in the first perik in Masechah Shabbos that the dayanim, when they had a dintar, used to sit ba'atifo. They used to cover their heads. Either they would, in Choshem Mishpat, the Pischit Shuvah on the bottom of the page points this out, they would either sit with a talus over their heads, or if they don't have a talus, they would sit with a hat on. He quotes from the Shalom, like when we daven Mincha Ma'ariv, he says they would wear a hat. Shachris, they wouldn't wear a hat, they would wear the talus over their heads. Mincha Ma'ariv, they would wear a hat. So the Shalom says that the Dayanim have to sit Ba'atifa out of Kovod Ashchina, out of respect to the Shechina, and wear a hat on their heads. This is often not observed, but that's what it says in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara has a din that the Balidinim are supposed to stand in the presence of the Bezin. The witnesses and the Balidinim are supposed to stand. V'yom d'shnei ha'anoshim asher lohem hariv lifnei Hashem. So the Gemara understands, V'yom d'shnei ha'anoshim elu ho'edim asher lohem hariv elu Balidinim lifnei Hashem elu ha'dayanim. So the Dayanim have to be yeshiva, the Dayanim have to sit, and the Edom and the Baladinim have to stand. So Taisus points out on that Gemara Shavuos on Daf Lamed and Shavuos Eidus, and the Taisus in the second Perek in Zvachim like that, where the Gemara talks about Yoshev by Hakrobus Kabonis and Yoshev by Din Torah. So Taisus points out, our minig is that we are Moichel, the Bezin is Moichel on the Kovin, and they give the witnesses permission to sit, and they give the Baladinim permission to sit. So the Or HaShulchan points out that once in a while this is not observed properly. Once in a while, very often you have like that, you come to a Din Torah, you make up what time everyone's going to come, so everyone comes at a different time. So by the time you start the Din Torah, everybody's sitting and schmoozing together, and the Baladinim and the Yedim never stood at all. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, you have to tell the Baladinim, you have to please stand up, out of respect for the Bezin, and after they stand up, then you tell them, we give you permission to be seated now. But if they never stood up in the first place, they just came, they took off their hats and their coats, and they sat down and had some coffee, and then you start the Din Torah. So then never even, it's not that they were moichel on the kovet. They never even knew that they're supposed to stand. You have to tell them first, they have to stand, and they stand. And then you tell them that you're moichel on your kovet, and then we permit them to sit. There is a big problem sometimes when the Baladinim present their cases in front of a Bezin. So sometimes it takes them forever till they catch choice what they want to say. They start telling a whole story. They start from their grandmother's uncle, and till they give the whole catch choice, because they don't know which parts of the story are relevant lahalacha. So some dayanim are very impatient, and they'll hack up the baldin in the middle. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that this is a very improper practice. You have to, when you have a din Torah, you have to ask him in advance to please write an outline of what you want to say, and please try to present your story in a half an hour or less or whatever. But if they keep on telling long, long stories, and they just don't know how to put everything together, so it's very improper to hack them up in the middle, because you may cause them to get so flustered that they'll already forget to say some of the points of information which are relevant to the case. They're telling so many things that are irrelevant, they may forget to tell the things that are relevant. And this can often cause an evil sadin, because one person, the crook, one of the baladinim is a real crook, and he's very suave, and he knows how to present his story with his version, his false version of the story in 20 minutes, 15 minutes. And the other guy, who's the honest guy, was never in a bezin before. He doesn't know how to vimas this. He doesn't know how to deal with this. And he just keeps on rambling on and on and on. So if you're going to hack him up in the middle, you can cause him to lose his case improperly. So one has to be careful about that. That's why in the Middle Ages, in the days of the Rishonim, they started a practice of having a toein. Instead of having the baldin present the case himself, he doesn't know what's relevant or what's not relevant. So they started a practice, he should get someone else to present the case for him, and the one who's going to present it is a professional who knows already what's relevant, and he'll already get, like a lawyer, and he'll already get all information and present it. So maybe in the days of the Rishonim this used to work, in the days of the Shulchan Aruch it worked, but today the common practice is awful, absolutely awful. When you have a Tohen, so the Tohenim act like lawyers, and they'll conceal information that is absolutely relevant to the case, and they'll tell over lies, things that never happened. And part of the din Torah is that the bezin has to look at the baldin in his eyes and look at his facial features at the time that he tells his story. They should tell, does it look like he's telling the truth or does it look like he's telling a lie? Nikarim divrei emes and nikarim divrei sheker. Sometimes you can tell whether he's telling the truth. So a lot of times they have the baldin just sits there with his hands folded like this, no facial expression whatsoever, and he has his toein telling the whole story. You have to ask the baldin, is this really what happened? And sometimes you have Tohanim who'll scream at the Bezdin. They'll scream at the Bezdin. They won't let the Bezdin function. So this is, many Rabbanim have a practice that they will just not participate in a Din Torah if they're going to be Tohanim. I personally think that that's a marvelous practice. And even though a lot of the Baalei Dinim take forever to present their case, but it's better to suffer along with that than to allow these Tohanim, which are really scandalous very often. When the Psak is written, so the psak is considered a ma'ase bezin. Usually when you write a shtar, so the halacha says that a shtar has to be written midas ha-meskayev. The one against whom the shtar is testifying has to authorize the edim to write the shtar. But this is only by medvar mamurim if the shtar is being written by edim. But if the one who authorizes the shtar is a bezin, then the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that there's no need for das ha-meskayev. The bezin has a right to authorize the writing of a shtar. But you have to have by medvar mamurim, you have to have a bezin who's authorizing the writing of a shtar. So we have l'mosho l'klal in the Gemara that there's no yeshivas bezin balayla. You cannot kivina bezin balayla. So let's say, l'chatchila, it says in Ibn Ezra, we require that a get should be written by yom. The get should be handed over. The mesiris ha-get should be by yom, because l'chatchila you need a bezin by get. What if it's a big shas ha-tchak? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you have a shas ha-tchak, you can do a mesiris ha-get balayla. But then, after the get is given to the woman, the practice for many centuries already is that the bezin takes back, the one who's mesadar the get takes it back, keeps it in his file, and we only give the woman a document, what we call in Yiddish a ptur, that attests to the fact that she was divorced according to the halacha, everything was done properly. So who has the right to authorize the writing of a ptur? So for that you need a bezin of shloisha. So if you had a big shas atchak and the get was given by Laila, so the Pischi Tshuva and Ibn Ezra points out, many poskim say, the bezin can't authorize the writing of a ptur balayla. They have to reconvene the next day. You have to have two witnesses testifying the presence of three people that we saw last night, a mesiris haget that was done properly. And then the three people who constitute a bezin will be able to authorize the writing of a ptur, the writing of a shtar. You cannot write a ptur balayla. There's no yeshiva's bezin balayla. The Chazon Ish has, we're mentioning this, the Chazon Ish has another point. He says that Beis Shmuel and Ibn Ezra quotes from the earlier poskim that even the Eidim who are watching the giving of the get, the Eidim Isiro, can be mitztaref afterwards to the Mesarah HaGet to constitute a Bezna of three to authorize the writing of the Ptur. We have a klal, ein aid nasa dayan. One who served as an aid on a case cannot turn around later to serve as a dayan on the same case. So this fellow was an aid when he was watching the Mesiris Aget. So why don't we apply this rule, an aid cannot serve as a dayan? So the Beis Shmuel quotes from the earlier Akrainim day, who pointed the Tosfos and Makkos on Dav Vav and Aleph in the Sanhedrin and other places, where Tosfos says that rule, that klal, ein aid nasa dayan, is only applicable to an aid hameid, only if the aid testified. It was only an aid haraya, he was only watching something, so aid haraya is not called an aid, and he can function later on as a dayan, he can serve as a dayan. So that's how the Beis Shmuel quotes, one who served as one of the Eidei Mesira, both Eidei Mesira on the get, the Eidim who were watching when the get was given over, they're only Eid HaRoya. They're not an Eid HaMeid, they didn't testify. So they can be mitztaref later to the Mesader HaGet to constitute a Bezin. So the Chazon Ish writes that in most of the Bati Dinim they make a mistake. This is a common practice. Not only did they mitzaref the two Eidei Mesira to the Mesader HaGet to constitute a Bezin, they usually take the same Eidei Chasima, the same two Eidim who signed the get, serve later, 10 minutes after they signed the get, then they serve as the Eidei Mesira to watch the giving over of the get, and then you mitzarev them to the Mesader HaGet to constitute a Bezin. So the Chazon Ish says, wait a minute, that's not what it says in the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel is only talking about Eidei Mesira, that's an Eid HaRoya, but the Eidei Chasima, those who signed the get, that's called Eid HaMeyed, because once the get is given over to the woman, so the Eidei Chasima giving Hagodas Eidus, that's where Shlokish is. Eidei Machsimim al Ashtar, Nase Kemisha Nechkaro, Eidusam Bebezin. Eidim will sign a document, and the document is transferred over to the party to whom it was intended to be given, so they become Eid HaMeyed. That's not just Eid HaRoya. So he says that's an improper practice. The Metzaref, the Eidei Chasima on the get, to be mitzaref with the Mesader HaGet to constitute a Bezin. In the Sefer Nachla Shiva, which is a classic, all about the Ksuba, the bulk of the Sefer is, he talks about Tanoim, he talks about other documents as well, but he talks about the text of the Ksuba, and he analyzes every single word, and he gives you all the sources in the Tanakh and the Talmud, and all the Rishonim and all the Achronim have to say until his time. He's one of the earlier Achronim. So the Nachla Shiva has an interesting point. He says that if you'll notice, when you have a Tanoim, so it always has the date on the bottom line. Nasipo, and it has the date in the city. And a ksuba always has the date on the first line. Is there anything to that? So if you would have asked me, I would have said no. So he claims yes. He says that conventionally, the practice always was that in a shtar maisa bezin, the date appears on the top line, and in a private document, a private shtar halvoa, or any other document, the zman appears on the bottom line. So he says the tanoim, when people get engaged and they write a tanoim, that doesn't have to be done under the supervision of rabbinate. That's a private affair. So that's why the zman appears on the bottom line, like any private shtar. But the ksuba, since the Gemara has a din, you're not allowed to get married without a ksuba. And the Gemara has a din. You have to have a talmud chacham, you have to have a bezin, Rashi says, a dayan, to supervise the kiddushin and to supervise the writing of the ksuba. So that's why the minhag developed that by a get and by a ksuba, we have this man on the first line because we treat it as if it were a maisa bezin. It's not really a maisa bezin. It's not that it's the writing of the ksuba or the writing of the get is not authorized by the bezin. It's authorized by the husband in both cases. But still, the Nachla Shiva claims since it's done under the auspices of a bezin because of this takon and the gemara, so that's why the practice developed that you put this man on the first line. So if this is the case, that this is the practice, and then when a bezin writes, let's say, a ptur, or a bezin has a din Torah, and they want to write what the psak is, so the Nachla Shiva claims that the convention has it, that you write this man on the first line as opposed to the last line. Let me just conclude with a famous comment from the Baal Shem Tov, which the Hasidus Sforim quote in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, and comes up every so often. There was once a case, two religious Jews had a sichsuch, a din Torah, and they went to a bezin paskin, that one is chayv, and he paid the money. And then the one who paid the money went to the Baal Shem Tov later on, and he said, Rabbi, I don't understand. I paid the money, that's the din. But I know what happened. It's not true. How can it be that the bezin paskin against me if I know that the facts of the other guy's a liar, he's a criminal? How can it be that the Ribbono Shel Olam allowed such a thing to happen? So the Baal Shem Tov is quoted as having said that the explanation must have something to do with Gilgal Neshamas. If one should assume, that's a question, whether Gilgal Neshamas is crucial to our religious belief. Is that one of the tenets of faith of the Jewish religion? Or not necessarily. So Reb Chisdoy Kreskis in his Sefer Or Hashem writes that this is not crucial to our religion. Maybe yeah, maybe no. It's like any issue of science. It's not part of our religion. Maybe yeah, maybe not. The Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara writes in the end of Bava Metzia, he has a Gemara, he says, it seems to contradict those who believe in Gilgal Neshamas. But in the Zohar, apparently, this is a theme that a recurrent theme, that there is such a concept of Gilgal Neshamas. So, yeah, many Svarim talk about such a concept. So the Baal Shem Tov claims that whenever a person loses in a Din Torah, and he really shouldn't have lost, it must be that he's making up for some money that he owed the other party in a previous Gilgal, which in that time they couldn't collect the money, so they're coming to collect now. So this, a few years ago I was asked to participate in a Din Torah. It was a very wild Din Torah because I never attended. The Din Torah took place in Australia, and they told me I shouldn't come. I should stay here. They have two Dayanim there, and I'll serve as the third Dayan over here. And if the two, each party picked one Dayan. So if the two Dayanim will agree, so they don't need me to say Faket. And if they'll disagree, so then they'll call upon me to be Machriya. So when they started the Din Torah in the end of July, so they called me three or four times on slight little details. And Shain, and I gave my opinion, and it was 2-1, and Shain, they proceeded. And then I didn't hear from them the whole summer. So I assumed that it was all taken care of. And then the first night of Slichas, before I came to the Yeshiva to say Slichas, I got a phone call from Australia. Nothing was resolved. This Beirer, it was Zeb Bar Lecha, and I was the third dying. So this Beirer said in favor of his Baldin, the other Beirer said in favor of his Baldin, and they're going to send me, they're going to FedEx to me 600 pages of evidence, testimony, that was all, it took them a whole summer till they typed everything up, till they transcribed everything, and I have to make the whole achro. So that was what they agreed to in the first place. I should pack them without seeing the people. I didn't see them. I don't know whether they do have a beard, they don't have a beard, I don't know, men, women, I don't know anybody. So just that's what they agreed to. So based on the evidence that was sent to me, I read it over many times, and I gave a psak. So the one who thought that he lost was very angry. He felt very hurt. So I sent him this, he was a Hasidish, I happened to be a Hasidish person. So I sent him this comment from the Baal Shem Tov, which appears in all the Hasidish Sfarim, that they should realize that maybe there was a previous Gilgal. Then a year later, he happened to be in New York, and he came up to visit me, and he thanked me for paskening against him. He said it was the best thing that happened for him. It turned out to Toiva that was exactly what it was supposed to be. So very often, if a Baldin feels that he was cheated, how can it be that the Bezin paskin against him? We should know that min hashamayim there must be a reason. If it's an honest business, there must be a good reason min hashamayim, either Gilgal and Shamus or some other explanation why that's the way it was intended. Thank you very much.